So lo and behold, I'm sitting across from Miss Tricia Trotter, and I'm looking at her card, and she said she's a mortgage agent. So the first question I want to ask you, Tricia, is what is a mortgage agent?
A mortgage agent?
Yeah.
Is this working?
Yeah, I'm hearing
it's working.
You, yeah, I'm hearing you.
Oh,
you're
hearing
clear.
Me. Okay, I don't want to yell in it.
Yeah.
A mortgage agent is someone who can acquire financing or acquire credit for homes and houses,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. There is, it's not an easy job. It's not a simple job. Okay.
Yeah.
But basically it's all geared towards just financing homes. So it's for residential and commercial. Okay. So you could do first time home buyers, repeat home buyers, pre-approvals to see if you do qualify for anything and how much you do qualify for. And we end up also being like credit consultants because a lot of it has to do with credit.
The big C word.
And very important. And that's exactly what I stressed in at First Fridays. First Fridays, they give you such a short amount of time, so you got to really hit it.
Yes.
Right? And so that's what I usually stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Acquire lending for commercial properties, tough to place deals, unconventional banking. I do conventional banking, I also do unconventional.
Okay, so listen, when somebody wants a mortgage,
yes,
normally what happens, you get railroaded by a bank and you go to a bank. So what's the difference with going to a mortgage agent than in a position to go into a bank? What do you do above and beyond what a bank would do for somebody?
Well, first and foremost, banks are usually open 9 to 5, 8 to 4, with the exception of TD, but TD still closes at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. We work unconventional hours, so that's evening, weekends, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you deal with one lender, that's it, you just deal with one lender. When you deal with a person of my expertise and with the professional background that I do have, I deal with 40 different lenders.
Wow.
So an individual can go to CIBC, get turned down by CIBC, go TD, get turned down by TD. Remember, every time you walk into a financial institution, you're pulling your credit. I just pull the credit once. I already deal with CIBC, which is actually first line. I already deal with TD. I deal with a vast array of people. I only pull the credit once, right? When an individual goes in, they don't deal with 10 other lenders. You only work for TD, or you only work for RBC, and so forth. So that's a huge difference. And therefore, depending on the type of need, because not all financial institutions will have products geared towards each individual. For instance, there's a lot of self-employed individuals. They can't just walk into a bank. And if they do have self-employed programs, you have different qualifications for it. And usually the qualifications are higher. This is what I call unconventional banking.
I never understand that, you know, because I'm thinking about the entrepreneurial thing myself, just
right.
Based on, you know, what I do. And so I go to a bank and they look at you and say, okay, can you give me a job letter and your income statement or whatnot?
Correct.
And they like that. But that's not that guaranteed also. Next month, if my company don't pick up new work, then guess what? I'm going home. So I don't see why they're so stringent on you having a 9-to-5 gig in a position to have being self-employed.
Not necessarily more strict on it. It's just that self-employment, a lot of people don't claim their actual income.
Yes.
You might lose your job a month down the road.
Yeah.
But you've already purchased and closed your home a month before that.
Right.
It's your, at the end of the day, it's your individual responsibility to make sure that mortgage gets paid.
Right.
True?
Yes.
Right? You signed those papers. A lot of people don't understand what they were signing. I'm finding that a lot in my... especially being independent. I did 3 years, or actually 3.5 years at RBC, and then I went independent. This is my second year of being independent. I'm being independent a lot. I'm coming across a lot of misguided misinformation that individuals, if they had met me maybe prior or met the right person, maybe not me, but met the right person
to
guide them.
Met you. You're the right person here. Come
okay,
on.
But if they had been guided in the right direction, they would have known what their options were, right? So a lot of people don't understand when they get into the housing market what exactly it means. Like I said in my presentation, I have saved people from their homes even when the banks have come in and foreclosed on them.
So say it again. Say it again, please.
So when clients, their homes are up for foreclosure.
Yes.
Meaning they didn't pay the bank or the institution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need alternative lending for that. I've saved a couple of homes at that point.
Wow. So let's back up a bit here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So person A wants to buy a house.
Yes.
Says, you know what, I've been renting for X amount of years. I live in Canada from 19, how long? It look really bad. I can't go to Jamaica or Barbados or Trinidad and tell my family. I'm going to come a foreign for 20 how much years and I haven't missed. So I want to buy a place. What does that person need to do? What do they need to have? What do they need to do to start the process?
Well, how the process works is you need to start with a pre-approval. 110%. You need to start with that. What did they say? You can't put the donkey's tail first.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Trinidadians say.
Oh,
they had a little lingo. Someone told me that. Exactly. They had a little lingo and they told me today. But anyhow, I'm also sponsored for Carnival Nation. So I'm getting a lot of their dialect coming through and so forth.
It's all right.
But you can't put a carriage in front of the horse.
Yeah.
So you need to start off with the pre-approval. Pre-approval will determine how much you qualify for and what your credit is like. Based on your income and based on your outstanding debts will give me a determinant number of what you can be approved for. Okay. You also have to be very straightforward and very forthcoming with your information. It's one thing to go to a real estate agent, I want to buy this house, that condo, you know, the whole world, you name it. I'm going to go to Timbuktu and buy that land, right? But when it comes to the actual finances, and this is where people are very, I would say very timid and they're shy because people make mistakes, okay? They take out credit for other people. They, in the hopes of helping somebody. And what they fail to realize is that person gets off the hook if they decide not to pay. 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. I took out a cell phone for my brother. My brother didn't pay the bill. I have $1,000 collection item. Guess what? At the end of the day, it's still your responsibility. So that's how you start off. You get a pre-approval done. If there are issues with the credit, then I go about telling you, okay, this is what has to be corrected. So whether it's a collection item that has to be paid, you know, whether it's a judgment, definitely has to be paid. Liens, if you're already an existing homeowner, do you know what I mean? So it really based on client situations.
So you get pre-approved and you know the amount of mortgage you can carry.
Right.
So you're now going to
how I do it is I do it by purchase price. It's easier that way. So for instance, a client comes to me, just say it's a first-time home buyer. Ms. Trotter, I want to buy a little condo. I'm looking between 180 to 225, right? This is how much I have to put down. I have 5% down, or I have 20,000, or I have 15, or whatever the amount is. Because that's where I come into play and say, okay, how much do you have saved, and how much is anybody going to help you put some money towards it, and so forth. And then I base it on that. So I base it on purchase price because you can afford a $600,000 home, but you're already putting $400,000 down. Do you know what I mean? So I make it easier because if I do, yes, I do the mortgage. I sit there and I said, this is what the mortgage will be. This is how much it is. This is what your monthly will be. Estimated property taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to do that, right? You have to explain everything, especially first-time home buyers, because it's their first time, right? And it's already nerve-wracking. Me, I do this in and out every day, all day, you name it. But for them, it's my first time. They don't know the ins and out,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I always go with the purchase price. And from the purchase price, you know what? This person qualified. Just say their purchase price is $225. They had the income to support it. and they have good credit. Minimum Beacon scores are usually like to work with 640, 630, 650. Anything a little bit lower, they start asking for 10, 15, 20% down. So Beacon score is very important.
Yes.
Credit is absolutely important. In the last couple of years, it's been very crucial. What I would get away with doing 3-4 years ago, it's not going to happen now.
What about telling people, one of the things I find, when you buy a house, like you inherit another three bills, you have property tax, you have home insurance, you have gas, hydro, water. That's five bills that just come, plus the mortgage. It's six bills.
And you know what? This is what we call it. We call it total debt servicing and gross debt servicing. Okay? And we have ratios. So it's a 30-40 percentile.
30 to 40.
So okay. 32 is GDS. And GDS, 40 is gross debt servicing.
Okay.
And so that's the immediate. And immediate means mortgage, property taxes, because I haven't, what's the third one? There's a third one. It'll come to me.
Yes.
Total debt service is everything and combined, meaning the mortgage, property taxes, just say their condo fees. Yeah, so that's what GDS, sorry, condo fees. Just say you bought condo fees. We include that in, okay? So condo fees, and then plus everything else. So whether you have other credits, you've got car loans, whether you've got, and plus hydro, water, and everything. That is how we calculate
what you can afford.
What you can afford,
okay.
Based on that.
Okay. Now, what about the amortization period of the mortgage?
So amortization, you can either shorten it or you can lengthen it. Now, they've changed the rules as of April.
Right?
As of April, instead of going 35 years, you can only do 30 years. Now, if it's an 80% loan-to-value, 80% loan-to-value, meaning you've got 20% of equity in the home,
yes.
Therefore, it doesn't have to be insured.
Yes.
Okay? I'm speaking very general, right? Because if you're self-employed, sometimes those homes are self-insured. Okay? So I'm speaking very, very general. I'm not speaking in a specific case. Then you can go a 35-year amortization. The longer you stretch out your amortization, what that means is the longer it takes to pay off your mortgage, but it might be more manageable for you. So, for instance, I've had first-time home buyers, whereas, you know what, Trish? I'm going to get a condo. This is what I'm looking to spend monthly. So just say it's $1,000, okay? And that's including all their expenses.
That condo has to be in, I don't know, Nipissing, Ontario.
Well,
something.
No, but you know what? I found properties for $150 in Scarborough area, and in decent areas, right? So, and that's where you have real estate agents that you connect with very well, who know exactly this is the type. This is where the client wants to live. This is what you're not picking something where it's not out of reach for them, and it's in a very decent, nice, clean neighborhood. That type of thing. Okay, because at the end of the day, where you buy your property and where it's situated will have a lot to do with the resale value, will have a lot to do with if you want to refinance your home and so forth. So you work with what that client is looking for. And sometimes if the client decides, I'm going to go higher, okay, well, this is what you either have to do. You either come up with a higher down payment, or you need to have additional income, or you might need to have a cosigner. What I like to do is give clients three options. No matter what, you have three options, right? You choose which one is better for you. So you're going to go, but just say it's $1,000 you want to spend. That includes condo fees and so forth. You can do that. You can lengthen out the amortization for that to make it more manageable for that client. Because when you rent now, rent is what, $1,000, $1,100, $1,200? Yeah, plus now you're paying water and hydro,
yes,
right?
Back in the day,
all of that stuff was included.
Yes.
So now that you're paying water and hydro, you might as well just, you can get a condo townhome with that. and got a nice little condo. Now, you're not looking at a 4,000 square foot home for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you could start small. Everyone says you have to creep before you can walk yes. before you can sprint, all that good
so
stuff.
On and so forth.
You know what I mean? You got to start small and grow your way up. And it's based on your lifestyle, too. Maybe you don't have time to water the grass, cut the lawn, shovel snow.
That's me.
Right? So, you might want to look at condo living instead.
Well, right? Here's what worries me about the condo living, Trisha, is the condo fees. And these things go up and go up monumentally over X amount. I mean, condo fees can be as much as $600, $700, $800.
Yeah, and I've done the mortgages on that, and yes, I've seen that. I've seen condo fees where they're $600, $700. And so when you're looking at that, you have to look at, and that's where your real estate agent comes into play. What exactly is included in those condo fees?
Yes.
And whether it's something that you're okay with doing, there are always going to be some type of maintenance fees or condo fees
mm-hmm.
when you're in a condo unit or a condo townhome. Mm. That stuff I have no control over, right?
No, could you explain to me the rules in house buying? Investment property versus personal property versus okay. commercial properties. What are the rules?
Okay. So when you're buying your own home, as long as we're talking about someone who's got like clean credit.
Yeah.
Not necessarily immaculate, but clean.
Yes.
Okay. You're working with them, Beacon scores 640, 650. Okay. And you want to put something like 5% down. Okay. So you got to make sure your income qualifies for it. And your credit is good. And you've got to clean your credit. There are steps in doing that. So whether it's paying off a collection item, paying, you know, that type of thing, okay?
Yes.
And so forth. You got to work on that, okay? You also have to make sure you have 1.5% of your closing costs. So whatever the purchase price is.
Can I stick a pin there? You know what happened to me with that closing thing? That thing nearly killed me, you know?
Because you didn't know.
I knew. But they told me X amount of percentage, right?
Yes.
But what they didn't tell me is that in Toronto, there is a fee that's charged by the municipality and the developer passed it on to you. So come closing time, I was given an additional $5,000 for developmental fee. $5,000. Stand? My closing cost.
Is that the land transfer?
No, it's a tax. It's a developmental tax. What the municipality says, well, you're going to put in a density of, I don't know, 1,500 people there. I have to extend sewer service to them, boom, boom, boom. So they charge that developmental charge.
So what was your land transfer?
I don't remember what it was, but listen, the closing cost was almost $12,000.
Now, was this a new construction?
New construction.
New construction closing fees are higher.
I almost fainted when I saw it. They charged me $1,500 for the gas meter, about $2,000 for the hydrometer. And check this out, I paid for the water meter, and I live in a complex where the water is covered in your condo fees. I was waiting to exhale.
No, and you know what? Closing costs on new constructions are higher.
It's horrendous.
They are higher. Right, because with the registration and all that stuff and whatever, it's a new construction.
Right.
Okay, but typically closing costs are 1.5%.
1.5%.
So, for instance, if it's the purchase price. So, for instance, if it's 200,000,
yeah,
1.5% is 3,000. That's supposed to include your land transfer. That should include your legal fees, all this, because that is give or take. Remember, it's estimate, but that's usually roughly.
That's if it's not a new construction.
New construction. For new construction, we do the same thing. We estimate. You have to show us that you have 1.5, irregardless whether new or whether new construction or whether an old resale. Okay? You have to show the professional person, who is me, you've got 1.5 closing costs. So that, you know, remaining down payment, you have to show you've got your legals covered. Your land transfer, all that good stuff. You have to show that, okay?
Yeah.
But when it comes to new construction, they're always higher.
Oh, it's
the closing is always always higher, and that is based on the builder and based on the municipality.
So this is the rules that you just gave me. Those are for
just so if you're purchasing. If you're purchasing your own home
for so that's residential.
So that's for residential. Now, if you're looking at buying an investment property,
yes.
Okay, investment meaning that you just say you already own a home already, and you want to get a condo and you want to rent it up to students.
Yes.
Just say in the York University area.
Yes.
Okay. The rules on that are you would have to put anywhere between 20 to 25% down payment. If it's 20%, most lenders or most financial institutions want it insured with Canada Mortgage Housing Corporation, known as CMHC or Genworth or Canada Guarantee.
And what does this mean to me? It means that my mortgage jumps up when it's insured by these
people. Insured. It doesn't jump up. There's an insurance premium attached to the mortgage.
And this is.
And this is to ensure
to the life of the mortgage.
It is on the mortgage, but not through the life of the mortgage.
Oh.
Because remember, you start paying your mortgage down.
Yes.
The only way you get added a new premium is if you're refinancing.
Oh.
Okay, and it has to be insured with a default insurer.
Oh.
What a default insurer does, a mortgage default insurer, ensures the bank that if you defaulted on your mortgage, they're going to get their money back if it ever became a problem.
Hold on a minute there. So when I default on my house and it's being foreclosed by the bank already get their money from
Not necessarily. It has to check out. So for instance, if there was something fictitiously done to the file, a mortgage default insurer can choose not to pay.
But let's say all things considered equal and there's nothing fictitious. So I don't pay, the bank collect from CMHC.
Okay.
That matters. So then the bank is getting paid twice because then they foreclose me and who get that money?
That ended the deal right then and there when it comes to the foreclosure part and how it all transpires and how it all works out.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I'm not that expert in that part.
That's not your area.
That's not my area. So I don't know how this money gets dispersed, who gets what, whether CMHC gets that money. Remember, they insure it, whether the lender gets that money. Remember, the lender does it a power of sale.
Yeah.
So it becomes their property. And when a power of sale happens, you're never selling it at that value. It's always a depreciated value.
So let's say I own the bank $150,000.
Right.
They come and let's put up the house to sell it and the price get bid up.
So it doesn't necessarily go bid up.
Let's just say it goes up.
Right.
And they sell it for $200,000.
Right.
I get the $50,000?
No, you don't get anything. You didn't abide by the agreement.
Really?
You agreed to pay your mortgage on time.
Oh.
So usually when you're in a foreclosure situation,
yes,
you don't necessarily have the money or you've walked. So the bank has overtaken it.
Oh.
So it's like your SOL.
Wow.
Right. So with investment properties, you've got to put anywhere between 20 to 25% down. Okay. Some financial institutions will want to see that you have a minimum self-worth liquid asset. So liquid assets mean savings. Okay. Either of minimum 50K, or they want to see if your home, your existing home, has a good amount of equity. Remember, it's a risk.
And this is not RSP, no. They don't count RSP.
No, they do count RSPs. Whatever you have in savings.
Oh.
Okay. So that's how those investment properties work.
And is it the same with, say, a commercial investment? Let's say I was going to buy...
Commercial is different.
Oh.
Commercial is different.
So if I was going to buy a unit, per se...
So if you were going to buy a unit or a strip plot, it really all depends. But commercial is different.
Okay.
So for commercial properties, you're going to put anywhere between 25 to 30. Remember, this is all general information.
Yes.
So it's very, because every situation is different. So it's very, very general. Some people listening in might think, well, she's not giving the correct information, or it's got to be this. I can't give everybody the fine nitty gritty details because every client that comes to see me has a different circumstance, okay. right? Okay. So everybody has a different circumstance of how much they have, what they're willing to do, all this good stuff, okay? Commercial properties, you have to put anywhere between 25 to 35% down. If you're going to do, just say it was a strip plaza,
yes.
you'd have to get all the rental incomes for it. You'd have to see how much those individual units itself, how much they're generating in income, plus what you're generating in income. It's based on an appraisal. It's based on an inspection. Commercial property is a lot more to it than a regular residential. But they get done. You know what I mean? Just it's a storefront, so you've got somebody living at the top, and then you've got, like, just say a hair salon at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. You know what I mean? Those deals can get done.
Now, it seems like it's not so easy to buy a property all by yourself.
It can be done.
It can be done.
Of course it can be done.
But let's say you're a community-minded person. I say, well, you know what? I really can't do this alone, but I think I could team up with two or three people and buy a place. Now, what would your advice be in a situation like this to these people? What are some of the things they should consider?
First and foremost, when you've got two or three other people, I always say that more hands than a pot sometimes is a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure you're all on the same page. You all got good credit. Nobody's filing bankruptcy anytime soon. You all like to pay your bills on time and so forth. Y'all have to be very like-minded, because if there's one bad egg, it can ruin it for the two of you, because everybody's name is on it. So if that person decides, you know what, just say it's 1500 and you split that three ways, right? So what's that?
Five.
So 555. And just say you've got John A, John B, and John C, but John B decided not to pay. John A and C got to pick up that slack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what if John C decided to file bankruptcy? That it fixed John A and B, because when you file bankruptcy, they can take whatever equity, they can actually overtake your home. That type of stuff. You all got to be like-minded. Do the pre-approval process. I've seen it work, but you all have to be like-minded and all want to have the same goals.
Yes. And
you and good credit. Kind of- and all and the income that goes with it and so forth, it can work.
What about some kind of out clause? Because there's three of you guys, you should have some kind
then
of
that's out something clause. You discuss then that's something you discuss with your lawyer. So a legal professional will guide you in the right direction in that.
Yes. Okay. I'm gonna have to pay the bills if these people are gonna get rough on me. I'm gonna
okay.
pay the bills, and I know you've been here for a minute.
No,
come back, we're gonna wrap up. You know what I mean? And give out your information, because
sure.
the whole point of getting you here is not only for my benefit, but it's to the benefit of the community. You know what I always say? You know, I used to work for a Jewish company, and this version of Olipa Money, he is the biggest real estate developer in the type of real estate he does. And I'm sure that when we roll up at the synagogue on Saturday after Shabbat Seder, you know, I'm sure Mr. Goldblum or Mr. Greenberg and whoever else there, if their son want to start a thing, if you need $200,000 or $500,000, they can cough it up between them, right?
Very tight-knit community.
Right. So I'm saying it makes no... To me, if Brother Kwame is successful, if I drive a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz and live in a 5,000 square feet home, it is not good that I am the only one on the block. We need another 10 Brother Kwames, another 15 Brother Kwames. So the point of you coming here is to, in my opinion, is why I want you here is to educate the community so we bring some more people along, get them into house ownership.
Yeah, definitely.
Kinda, you know what I mean? Kind of full courage them to leave the
I've taken
people
bling. Out of co-op housing or metro housing who probably thought that they couldn't afford homes in the first place. And now they've been in their homes maybe about minimum 5 years.
Look at that.
And so forth. Education is power.
Yes.
Right? Your first year is never easy because
yes.
you have to get adjusted. And
yes.
usually what I do is I tell clients, keep it monthly for now, right? Unless they're really, you know what, if they want bi-weekly, this is how it works on their pay and so forth, that's fine. Because you have to get You have to get used to your mortgage coming out. And at the same time, when you're taking somebody out of that co-op housing, they're so used to maybe a subsidized rent.
You see, $200.
But I'm not talking about market rent, because market rent ends up being the same as regular rent.
It's the same.
So I don't even know why they call it market rent. But when it's coming to, you know what I mean, taking somebody out of situations like that and whatever, you have to kind of get used to it. But you also have to know yourself as a person, what you can afford, what type of lifestyle you live.
Yeah.
Are you going to be diligent? There's five C's to credit.
Five C's
to credit. Right. Character is a major one.
Better call me a good character, go on.
Right? So character will tell me, just by looking at your credit report, how diligent are you at paying your bills? So if I see like, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean in life? So if I see that, you know what I mean? You've got R7s and R2s and whatever, and it's recent, you don't like paying your bills.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Now, I've seen R2s where somebody doesn't pay attention to the bill, but the paycheck comes in, the bill is clean within 30 days. I've seen that as well. But they also have the income and the savings to back them up. Okay? So there's character.
Character, yes.
Consistency. So first of the month, the bills get paid by this time. So are you consistent?
Yes.
With doing all that stuff? Your credibility. Okay. Credibility meaning it shows right in your credit report.
You know, liar.
You know what I mean? How diligent are you? Okay. In managing your debts and so forth. Okay. Now you're asking me to remember like all my school days.
We have three, you know.
Right? And there is
credibility.
Yes. And there's two more, but basically the whole point of it, the five C's of credits basically shows how do you manage your money well.
All right.
So you can all top it up. How do you manage? And if you need help in managing, that's where I come into play. I mean, I've been a manager at TD. I've been a manager at CIBC. I've got 12 years of banking expertise. I've been in banking since 1998. I do look very young for my age. I know that for the Kwame and so forth. But that's where I come into play with the vast resources that I have.
Beautiful.
And so forth.
Well, listen, let me jump into a commercial break. And
we can pay the bills.
You see, pay the bills on time, five C's, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap it up. Now let's see if this thing works.
Okay.
Check it out. This is the roll call.
Roll tape.
Your baby deserves the best. That's Final Touch Car Spa. 1365 Midway Boulevard, Unit 10 north of Derry off Dixie Road. Hand car wash, engine or interior shampoo, window tinting or rust proofing. Call Charles 905-564-7733.
Spice up dinner with Starfish Caribbean Market. Enjoy a one-stop shopping experience. Get seafood, fresh meat, groceries, and fresh produce. You're a great cook. Get great food at Starfish Caribbean Market. 1746 Weston Road, 2 Lights South of Lawrence.
Anyone looking to sell old cars, vans, or light trucks, running or not, anywhere in the GTA, we buy them all. Contact Glenn at 416-277-3757. That's 416-277-3757.
Get your tickets today for Love on the River 16th year, Saturday, July 30th, through Board the Yankee Lady, boarding 10:30 p.m., returning 4 a.m. Music by Richard Branson and from the UK, Big John, 2000. Special guest appearance by Mr. Vegas, Skepper, Ranks, and Timberlake. What happens on the boat stays on the boat. Visit RadioDouble.com for details or call 647-669-0561.
Jamaica Day's Gospel for the Whole Family, featuring Peninsula and more. Evening performances by Baby Shan, Saran, Eric Donaldson, Ernie Smith, Jimmy Reed, and more. Live music and fun all day. July 23rd, Wildwater Kingdom, Finch and Steels. Visit Jamaica Day Toronto.com.
Hey, how a big rab really are going with? Party for $5.97 a dozen. I cut him a cut price when other people are raised. 86 guided code, Highway 27 and Steels, Ictobico. Call 416-749-6211. A good business, support him.
get your business or event on the roll call, call 416-736-5145. And that's the roll call.
Jamvana Festival, fun for the family, Emancipation Day, holiday Monday, August 1st, 1 to 9:30 p.m. Down Zoo Park, Toronto. Action-packed from start to finish, featuring comedian Oliver Samuels, culture tribute with Kenyatta Hill, LUSD, Expo Levi Steel, Soul to Soul, and more. Visit the villages, health, travel, trade, domino, children's, food, arts, and craft, and a $25 VIP section. Admission $5 advance. Jamvana, Monday, August 1st. Tickets and info, 905-452-1911 or jamvana.com. Presented by Air Jamaica and Digicel, a Jones & Jones production.
Greetings, Massive. This is Steel. And you're tuning to CHRY 105.5 on your FM dial. Big radio station. Don't change it, you know. One love.
Tula, tula, mama. Tula, tula, when I stand usami. Enga ukalelani. Tula, tula. Sage salutualusi, sage sagur sagubele tatna,
sage
salutualamatu,
sage sagubona sagubele tatna.
Womnya muma yekatelo mnya mabu,
womnya muma. Good boy, carry on. Good boy, good boy, carry on.
Na ngumhlophe naye sekahle lo mnyama bo.
All right, you know, so this is not a music show, right? I know you're catching up on your Zulu. Oh, is your Zulu? Is Zulu all right? No, I know. No, Zulu all right, man. That's, what are they called? Don't tell me, I can't remember their name, though. And I have a thing here, you know. Georgia Shabalala and crew. What them call them again, man? Lady Smith Black Mambozo. And it's funny, you know. You know, says a white Jewish guy turned me on to Lady Smith Black Mambozo maybe 20 years ago. And I said, wait. Yeah, let's check out this group, man. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I'm from South Africa, Jojo Shabalala. You know, I'll go see them when I come to Canada, and so on and so forth. Anyway, I'm digressing. So how you do, I know you're liking it, the vibes. And, you know, Miss Trotter here really giving us some good information, good 411. So one of the callers had called in, and he wanted for you to expound a little bit on the bi-weekly, bi-weekly sort of floating payments. And what are the repercussions of having a bad credit?
So he wants me to touch on the monthly payment, or you want to start with the nasty first?
The nasty, the bi-weekly. Okay.
The mortgage payments are really easy. You can do, and it's like a two-second thing. You can do monthly, bi-weekly, semi-monthly, and weekly. You can also accelerate your bi-weekly and weekly payments. So as you break your mortgage payment down, more money will go towards the principal than the interest. Okay, how to kill off your mortgage faster. And like I said, it's very brief information. And to kill off your mortgage payments faster is to attack your principal within the first 7 years of the life of the mortgage that you have. So by taking advantage of all the prepayment privileges that you have, okay, the prepayment privileges are anywhere between 15 to 20%. So minimum, you can increase it by 15%, your monthly payment. You can do 15% lump sum towards it. Some of them will actually allow you to do double up payments, okay? For instance, Scotiabank has match-up payment. And make sure you're putting this all towards your principal, okay? Your lump sum payments are done on each anniversary. So never think that, oh, $2,000 isn't a lot. It's something, okay? Mm-hmm. So you will, within the first couple of years of having that mortgage, is very crucial, because the more you take advantage of prepayment privileges, the better off you are in the long run.
Okay. And the negative aspects of this credit situation?
The negative aspects is, and I've seen the worst of the worst, besides having your house closed on. Negative aspect is repercussions. So if you've got if you don't pay any of your credit cards, right, it brings down your Beacon score. Especially in this day and age, everything is credit oriented.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't pay your credit cards, right? No one's gonna lend to you, period. Okay? If you got too much debt, it's no good. Because what if you ever lose a job? That's the way we assess things. If you lose your job, you have all this outstanding debt, how are you going to manage to pay your mortgage?
Yeah.
Okay? You have too little debt. You need minimum 2 trade lines. Trade lines mean credit. So have a credit card, have a car loan, have a credit card, have 2 credit cards and use them and establish good credit that way. I always recommend if you have a line of credit, keep your line of credit. It's cheaper than having a credit card, okay? But you have to use it to your advantage, not disadvantage. Don't take it and buy, I need to buy makeup, I need to buy shoes, I need to go to this dance this weekend, Stone Love is coming, and yeah, and then not pay the bill. That's careless spending, right? So use it wisely, okay? You have too much debt, no good. You have too little debt, because then we don't see what kind of history that you have. It's no good either, okay? When you don't pay your bills on time, it can default to go into collection items. If you already own existing homes, don't think credit card companies aren't going to put liens against your property. They will, and I have seen it done, and I have done the mortgages for them.
For a couple $1,000s.
You know what ends up happening? Once your item goes into collection items or it goes into lien, just say you owed $500. And you decide, well, I'm not going to pay. And that, see, that's the ignorance that comes up, especially within the West Indian community, which really irritates me. Well, I'm not going to pay it, but it's your cell phone or it's your credit card. You know what I mean? I didn't use it. I didn't take it out. Then what you have to do is you also have to look beyond that. Maybe you were impersonated and someone got a hold of your information. Then you have to file a police report. I always believe where there's a will, there's a way, and everything can be corrected. But you can't be ignorant to how this can affect you, okay? If you get bankruptcy, bankruptcy is easier than consumer proposal. For the simple reason of after it's discharged, you need minimum 2 years of good established credit. Yes, they will ask you for a higher down payment, so you're not going to qualify for the minimum 5% down. They're going to probably ask you anywhere between 10 to 20% down, okay? But you can still reestablish yourself, okay? When you have consumer proposal, it literally drops your Beacon score. Bankruptcy does too, but consumer proposals drop it even more, and they want it paid out. So for instance, your consumer proposal is $50,000. They will ask you to have that paid out
before
exactly, and sometimes that is not feasible for most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not handling your third party collections, those are easier to deal with, but if you don't take care of that, they start accumulating in interest, liens, and judgments. The interest is retarded. Pardon my language. The interest is just ridiculous, but at the same time, the interest in that, they also tack on their legal fees, okay? And all of a sudden, you are paying their legal fees. So you as the credit card holder, you're paying for their legal fees. And if they don't get the money, and you own property, they will place a lien against it. So all of a sudden, you know what? At one point, you only owed $2,000, and now you own $20,000.
Jeez.
That's correct. So those are the worst-case scenario. And it follows you. Because you know what? There's people, they start putting property in other people's names and so forth. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. So don't get me wrong. You might have some trustworthy friends and family that can do it for you, but you also have to remember their life situation. So I've seen it where, you know, somebody has put the property, because they have bad credit, they put it in their friend's name, And the friend is okay at that time, but then all of a sudden a friend files bankruptcy.
Jeez, I'm pleased.
You understand with bankruptcy, they can take the house.
Jeez,
a lot of people don't understand that stuff.
And then you're building, you put in your friend's name, you're building your friend's credibility, not building
building, what they try to do is they try to safeguard the interest with the lawyer and stuff like that. But you got to take responsibility for your own actions. Mm. Have it in your name. We all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls on hard times. Not necessarily mistakes, but falls on hard times. You might have lost your job. I know at one point construction for 2008 was brutal.
Yeah, we got beat up. But I have to touch wood.
Yep, touch wood.
Survive, man.
But 2008 was a tough year for construction workers.
It was.
Very tough, right? So now things are starting to...
Yeah, kick up. We're getting...
Kick up and so forth. So things happen. But then don't feel shameful because you have to go pick up a job at McDonald's or you have to go scrub hotel bathrooms. No, don't laugh.
No, I'm laughing because I can't pay my bills, though. That couldn't pay my bills.
But
maybe you could pay some.
You know what? But at least you were able to pay some of them. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you got to do what you got to do to make ends meet and make things work. Because at the end of the day, it's you on the line. Because maybe 5 years from now, you want to start a business and you want to pull some equity out of your home.
Yeah.
And you can't get it. Right? But you could always get financing. There's always financing. Like I said, I do what for seconds and thirds. I do what private lenders. I do equity takeouts. I do newcomers to Canada. The whole shebang.
Man, a whole lot of things. Well, Ms. Trotter, you've been here for a minute. I'm a nosy boy. I may have your talk. And
that's okay.
Ask 50 million questions because I tell you, I'm really animated by this thing.
That's okay.
Because I...
Real estate, every client situation is different. So I have to stress that once again for the simple reason of... someone out there who might be a mortgage representative, who might be a banker, as I was myself, I might say, oh, but she didn't say this and she didn't say that. She didn't say this. You know, people can call me at any time. They can email me. I'm on Facebook. Facebook. But I do use it for business purposes. You can Google me. I'm the second name on Google.ca.
All right. So give us some 411 about yourself, because I know I'm going to let you go. We're into the Kabandwa show.
Okay. My phone number is 416-854-7111. 416-854-7111. It is Tricia Trotter. So T-R-I-C-I-A.
Mm-hmm.
And Trotter, T-R-O-T-T-E-R. So like Globetrotter. You can find me on Facebook. You can Google me. And my email is trotter@sherwoodmortgagegroup.com. But my phone number is the easiest one. It's like 967-1111-854-7111.
You see, normally I used to ask people to repeat and slowly, but you did it. You're a professional, man. You used to really vibe, so you repeat it nice and slow so them get it. And
but like I said, if you forget, my office location is at 2888 Dufferin Street. Okay, so its main intersection is Dufferin and Lawrence. Okay. It is the Sherwood Mortgage Group.
Yeah.
Within mortgagebrokers.com. Like I said, we deal with 40 different lenders and so forth. I went over my vast experience, my banking experience that I do have.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, no question is a stupid question, because I think if people had asked the questions in the first place, mm-hmm. maybe they wouldn't be in the situations they are now.
The stupid question is the one that you don't ask.
You're only stupid when you don't ask them.
That's right. That's it. That's stupid. Well, Ms. Trotter, listen, it was a divine pleasure to have you here.
I learned a lot. Thank you so much. I love CHROI. They're like my family. I haven't been here in a minute. I love CHROI. You guys are like my second home.
You hear that? Radio listeners, sister loves CHROI. So listen, give her a call. If you're thinking about getting into the home business, buying a house for yourself, getting out of the rental property, give her a call. Don't be shy. Don't be timid thinking you might can't afford. You never know. As Scotiabank mantra goes, tagline, you're richer than you think. So listen.